Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
So today we're going to talk about the counting effects. And in order to talk about the counting effects, I think we first have to look at the mitzvah. You have two books on the table. We're going to look into the book of Leviticus, and we're going to look into the book of Deuteronomy. Leviticus 23, next week's Torah portion, Parshas Emor. I want you to turn to verse 15. Leviticus 23, 15. And then we're going to open Deuteronomy and go to chapter 16, verse 9. We're going to do a little bit of a comparative between the two times that the Torah talks about this mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer, which for station identification is the mitzvah of counting days, from Pesach to Shavuot. Let's begin with Leviticus, Parshas Emor, Sefer Vayikra, Perek Chav Gimel, chapter 23, verse 15. And so it is written, Usfartem lochem mimacharas haShabbos. You should count from the day after the cessation. Yom haviyachem es omer hatnufa, from the day that you bring the wave offering. Sheva shabbatot tmimot tihiyena. They should be 7 intact or complete weeks. Rashi says, mimacharat haShabbat. What does that mean? Is it from the day after Shabbat? You do this on a Sunday? Rashi says, no. Mimacharat Yom Tov. This comes from the day after Yom Tov. I will soon show you the source in the Talmud where we get that from. This was a huge source of contention once upon a time when there was heretic Jews who made up their own mumbo-jumbo. They followed the Torah, and whatever they didn't understand from the Torah, they would read their own literalistic meanings into the Torah, which was not according to the tradition of Moshe Rabbeinu from Sinai. Bad stuff. No good. So Rashi tells us, Mimochras HaShabbos does not mean from the day after Shabbat, as in the vernacular Sunday, but rather the day after we don't work, which is the first day of the Pesach Yom Tov, the Passover holiday. So Mimochras HaShabbos, what should we do? Torah says, which day is this? Miyom aviyachem es omer tenufa, from the day after you bring the wave offering. You should count. You're going to count 7 intact weeks. And how much will you count? Tmimot tihiyena, Rashi says, this teaches us, melamed shematchilu mone mi bo'erev. You must begin the count in the evening. Don't count in the morning, because then it won't be tmimot, then it will be incomplete. Yishim loikin, if you don't count it from the night before, enon tmimot, then they are not complete. And then says verse 16, Ad bimochras haShabbos haShviyas. This will take you all the way until the morrow of the 7th week. Tisperu chamishim yom. Ultimately, you will have counted up 50 days. And what will you do then? Vehikravtem mincha chadasha laHashem. You will bring a novel, a fresh, a new meal offering before God. Rashi says, haShabbos haShviyas kitargumo. This should be rendered as Unculus, or Achilles rendered it. Shavu Asa, Shivei Asa, the 7th week. So from the 7th week, once the 7th week passes us by, but not beyond that, as Rashi goes on to say, Ad Mimachras, until the morrow of the 7th week, but not past that, V'loy Ad Bechlal, but not including the day after, Hein Arboim V'tisha Yoim. You got to count 49 days. No more days, just 49 days. Then there will be a 50th day. The 50th day is Chamishim Yom V'hikravta Mincha Chadosha. That'll be Yom HaChamishim Takrivuha, the new, fresh meal offering that'll be brought on the 50th day. So you're counting up to the 50 days, but you don't actually count 50 days. What is this Mincha Chadosha? Rashi goes on to explain to us that the Mincha Chadosha is brought from the fresh grain. But one second, didn't we just bring from the fresh grain the Korban Omer? So Rashi explains, no, that was Min HaSa'orim. That was from barley. This will be from the fresh crop of wheat. Now, let me ask you a question. You all look very intelligent, smart people here. So far, when we read this in the Torah, in the book of Leviticus, what does it sound like the counting is connected to? A bringing of a korban. It's pretty clear. It says you count from the day after havi'achem, from the day after you bring the korban omer. So what if you didn't bring a korban omer? Well, you shouldn't be counting. Because if you bring a korban omer, you count. And then when you finish counting, what do? You bring another korban. Korban and korban, bookended by korbanot, or offering, special gifts we bring to Hashem and the Beit HaMikdash. The first offering catalyzes the count. The count comes to an end, and we bring another offering. This is pretty straight up that this is about bringing an offering in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay. Now let's take a look at Deuteronomy 16. Here in the Mishnah Torah, in the fifth book of the Torah, the entirety of the laws are restated. Moshe Rabbeinu Moses tells us in Parshas Re'eh, Deuteronomy 16, Chumash Devarim, Perek Tezayin, from Pasuk Tes, verse 9, after telling us in verse 8 about the six-day holiday, which is called Pesach, a day, a time, a week in which we eat matzah. And then, Obayom Hashvi, on the seventh day, once again, there's going to be an Atzeret, a holiday again. Then, after the celebration of Pesach, the Torah comes along in verse 9 and says, Shiva Shavuot Tispar Loch. You must count for yourself 7 weeks. When do you start to count the 7 weeks from? Mehochel Chermesh Bakoma. From the day you raise your sickle over the grain. Koma comes to the terminology of koima, standing grain, as we talked about last week in great length. So from the time that you begin the harvest, when you start to cut the stalks, that's when you should be counting. Tochel lisper shiva shavuos. You should count 7 weeks. Torah doesn't even talk about counting days here, just says count 7 weeks. And then it says in verse 10, V'yasisa chag shavuot. You make a holiday, you'll call it shavuot, and you'll give gifts to God according to the beneficence or the bounty that he has blessed you with. Okay. So the first major difference is that in Leviticus we hear about days and weeks. We don't hear about, you only hear about weeks. About weeks. But the other interesting difference is that in Leviticus we started off by saying Miyom Haviyachem et Omer HaTnufa, that this count has everything to do with the bringing of an offering. And then when we finish counting, we again bring an offering. In Deuteronomy, the Torah doesn't really talk about it that way. It just says, you're going to count 7 weeks. When is that 7 weeks going to come from? From the time you begin the harvest. Now, to be fair, if you take a look at Rashi's commentary, in verse 9, Rashi does say that the chermesh, I translate it as a sickle, I'm not sure if it's exactly a sickle or something like that, the point is that it's an implement, an instrument which is used to harvest. Mishaniktzar ha'omer. So when is the time of the harvest? When does the harvest begin? The harvest would begin in Israel after the initial stalks were cut. And that was a whole big ceremony with special people that came from the Beit HaMikdash. It was a huge throngs that surrounded them, and they made a big to-do out of this. And you can actually read an eyewitness report, a live eye that's telling you how it looked if you look in the Megillah, the scroll of Rut. Rut arrives together with her mother-in-law Naomi. They come upon an enormous crowd. And what's the crowd doing? According to most opinions, they're cutting the Omer in Bethlehem. Yep, that's the very same Bethlehem of today. Yes, long before there was anybody else living there, it was Jewish people living there, and they were cutting wheat to bring a korban nearly 3,500 years ago. All right, that's very nice. So the point is this. The point is that Rashi does explain how you count from the beginning of the harvest that directly linked to the korban, because once you start cutting, once you start the harvest for the korban purposes, that's when the rest of the harvest follows. However, if we are to read these verses literally, it does not say anything about a korban. What does it speak about? It speaks about the harvest season. It speaks about the cutting of wheat, the cutting of barley, the cutting of grain. It doesn't say anything about bringing a korban. And it doesn't say anything about bringing a korban when you're finished. It says, Vasita chag shavuot. You're going to make a festival called Shavuot, a festival called weeks, after counting 7 weeks, 7 times 7. And then you're going to bring gifts, Misas Nidvas Yadcha, according to the bounty that God has blessed you with. And you'll rejoice before God, and we get details on rejoicing. On the holidays, we don't talk anything about a korban. So there seem to be, on the surface, two narratives with regard to the counting of the Omer. One seems to very clearly emphasize the korban. It's right implicit in the verse. The other one seems to talk about the concept of counting. They're not mutually exclusive. As Rashi explains, Deuteronomy fits very snugly with Leviticus. There's nothing contradictory here. But nonetheless, there do seem to be two slightly different narratives. Now here in Deuteronomy, we have a very, very clear detail where it says that the Shiva Shavuot are Tisper Loch, right? That they have to be counted by you. And this is a big deal because Tisper Loch means that this is a personal counting. And we have the same thing in the book of Leviticus. It says it was Fartem Lochem. So we know that this is a personal counting. Tisper Loch. And then Usfartem Lochem. We learn from this that this is specific counting that has to be done by individuals, as the Rishonim speak about this in great detail. Now, I must tell you that virtually many, not all, but many of the Rishonim allude to counting up to Shavuot, and that this represents a yearning for Torah, and that they were counting what they were missing, and when you anticipate something, that's when you count. There's a lot of very interesting things that are written here in the writings of the Rishonim. I have, for example, and really I'm just sharing this as an example, we have the notion that the Mincha Belula goes so far as to say that the reason that we don't have joy with this mitzvah is because this mitzvah brings us a certain yearning and an aching emptiness, where we recall the fact we time we didn't have the Torah, and we were counting from going out of Egypt until we received the Torah. So there is a lot of medrash and allegory and metaphor and inspirational teaching about the meaning of Sfirat HaOmer. But on a very literal level, if you just view the verses in and of themselves, they simply are telling us about a counting that's harvest related, either harvest slash offering related or just harvest related. And we're talking about the celebration of Pesach, and we're talking about the celebration of Shavuot. So I wanted to begin just by sharing with you the verses in the Torah, because the verses in the Torah that we talked about serve as the basis for a dispute we find in the Talmud. I'm going to begin to share with you the contents of the Gemara Masechet Menachot, which is a tractate that deals with meal offerings, beginning on page 65b. Here we have a quote from Leviticus. The psukim, the verses we just read, Usfartum lochem, you count for you. So the Gemara says, Shetehei sfiro lechol echad v'echad. This is a personal obligation. Every individual has to count. Well, when is this? Mimachras Shabbos. So the Gemara says, is this Mimachras Yom Tov? Is this the day after the first celebration of Pesach, the first holiday? Or is it Machras Shabbos, quite literally? And the Gemara says, it says 50 days. So if we were going to start counting from the closest Shabbat, there wouldn't be 50 days. The only way you get 50 days is if you start counting from the day when you have a cessation, not 51 days, not 52 days, but 50 days. So no, it's got to be 7 exact weeks. And therefore we know if Shavuot is to be celebrated exactly on the 50th day, then we'll have to begin the count of the week, same time we begin the count of the days. And so the Gemara establishes the concept of counting from after we rest, after we have a day of Shabbat, meaning cessation of work, on the first day of Pesach. I don't want to delve into this. This is a huge discussion in and of itself that is not the focus of today's class. What I do want to do is take you to the end of this piece of Gemara, which is on Daf Samach Vav, on page 66, right before the Mishnah. The Gemara now tells us, Amar Abaye. Abaye said, Mitzvah lemimne yoimei, or mitzvah lemimne shavuei. It's a mitzvah to count days. It's a mitzvah to count weeks. Because after all, in the Torah, it said very clearly that we should count days, but it also said we should count weeks. Here in the book of Leviticus, it said, Usfartem lochem, you should count. And it said, Sheva Shabbatot Mimot, 7 complete or intact weeks. And then right after, we say, Tisburu Chamishim Yom, you're counting 50 days. So we talked about counting days, and we talked about counting weeks. So Abaye says, that's right, it's a mitzvah to count days and weeks. And then the Gemara says, Rabbanon de Beit Rabbi Ashi, the sages who were in the academy of Rav Ashi, it's like the close of the Talmud, Monu Yoimei Umanu Shavuye. They counted weeks, they counted days. And the Gemara says, Ameimar, who is a great sage near the close of the Talmud, Ameimar Monu Yoimei. Ameimar would count days, V'loi Monu Shavuye. He didn't count weeks. So they said to him, hey, the Torah says count days. The Torah says count weeks. How come you only count days? So Ameimar said, I'll tell you why. Omar, he said, Zecher lemigdashu. This mitzvah is only a memorial for the temple. It's only a memorial for the temple. Rashi explains. The counting of the Omer. It's only to bring to mind the memory of a mitzvah that was once fulfilled. Yes, it's a biblical mitzvah. But you came a drop late. We talked about in the book of Leviticus, it says very clearly that when do you start to count? Miyom haviyachem et omer hatanufa. From the day that you bring the wave offering. Is there a wave offering brought in Jerusalem this year? No. Are you counting Sfirat HaOmer? All right. What are you counting? Counting from what? From the day that what happened. Here it says miyom haviyachem. The verse in Leviticus clearly fingers the day in which you bring the korban. No korban brought. If no korban was brought, then we have a mitzvah to count. So Rashi explains in the Shita, in the opinion of a Meimar, he says, Hai minyona, the hashta, the counting of now, meaning the non-temple counting, the counting we do now. He says, Lav chayva, this is not obligatory, because the Torah gave us an obligation to count if we bring a korban. But we didn't bring a korban. We don't have a Beit HaMikdash. So he says, therefore, lav chovu, there's no obligation. The haleka omer, there is no korban omer. If there's no korban omer, there can't be a mitzvah to count. Why are we counting for? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say miyom shahayita mevi et haomer, or shetihiya mevi et haomer. It says miyom haviyachem et haomer. Here's an interesting trivia question that I don't know the answer to. Did they count Sfirat haomer in the desert? My guess is not. How could they? They never had this opportunity. I don't know. There were many mitzvot they didn't start till they got to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rashi says, Hai minyana the hashta, the counting of now, lav chova, it's not an obligation. The haleka omer, there's no omer. Ella zecher lemigdash ba'alma. It is but a memory of the temple. And therefore, hilkach beyomei sage. It's enough to count the days. When the Torah says count a korban, and the Torah says count days, and the Torah says count weeks, fine, so you got to do counting days and weeks. But when the Torah said count from a korban, and there was no korban, okay, so we're going through a reenactment. You know, in these reenactments, like in the forts, they don't put bullets in the muskets, okay? They just put gunpowder. It's just a show. They play this game, okay? It's a reenactment. We're doing what they used to do. So the rabbi said we should do what they used to do. But it's not really what's happening. You didn't, there's only smoke here. You don't actually bring the korban. Yeah, it's true. So it's enough to make a zecher, a memory of the temple, by counting days. You don't have to go out of your way to count days and count weeks. We will elucidate this further. But I'm just trying to make it very clear to you. I'm showing you how we have a dispute between Abaye and the Academy of Ravashi, who say, no, you got to count days, you got to count weeks, got to be biblical exactly like it says, because we have a mitzvah. Now, they would follow the simple way of understanding the verses in Deuteronomy, which are Shiva Shavua Tisper Lach. Count 7 weeks. When should you count 7 weeks? Machol Chemesh Bekoma. From the time of the harvest. Now, Rashi explained that it's not a contradiction to Leviticus, because the time of the harvest would only begin after they would start to harvest for the korban, for the meal offering in the Beis HaMikdash. Granted. But the fact is that here in Deuteronomy 16, the Torah doesn't mention a korban. The Torah alludes to a korban by speaking about the beginning of the harvest season, which Rashi says is only heralded by the cutting of the grain for bringing an offering in the Beit HaMikdash, but it doesn't say offering in Deuteronomy.
So how could you have the festival of Shavuot?
How could you have the festival of Shavuot? It's an excellent question. I'm going to try to answer that question today. That is actually my question. So Nathan asked the question before I asked it. This is the question. I was actually going to show you how the counting, according to the majority opinion in today's day and age. Very good. This is exactly the issue that I'm coming to address in today's class. So since you raised it, now I will share the secret out of the bag. So the real issue is I was trying to demonstrate to you how, according to the majority of opinions, which I didn't do yet, I didn't share the majority of opinions, but I'm going to share with you the majority of opinions that will show you that in today's day and age, the counting of the Omer is only rabbinic. Zecher. If it's only rabbinic, how do we have a festival called Shavuot, which is biblical? This is a problem. You have a biblical festival, Shavuot, which is celebrated 49 days after Pesach, because we count it up from Pesach to Shavuot. But if this counting is only a Zecher, do we have a Zecher to Shavuot? Or do we have a biblical mitzvah Shavuot? Everybody says it's a biblical mitzvah. So please, pray tell, how does rabbinic counting lead us up to a biblical mitzvah? And this is the name of my title, Counting Effects. How does our counting affect us? How does rabbinic counting effectuate a biblical holiday? But I digress, because I wanted to show you how First, I'm showing you the sources. I showed you verses, okay? Some verses seem to illustrate the or emphasize the importance of the korban. Other verses seem to illustrate and emphasize the importance of the counting, the timing. The answer, incidentally, would have to be yes. This is the only example of what seems to be a rabbinic mitzvah, a zecher, what's done as a memory of what once was, which will lead you to a biblical obligation. It would certainly seem so, yes? This is the paradox of Sfirat HaOmer. This is what the point of the earth-shattering question I'm going to try to address today, that something seems profoundly off here. But again, we digress. So, you understand the Gemara, right? You understand what the Gemara says? I showed you the psukim. The verses can be read this way and read that way. Guess what? The dispute actually filters down. In the Talmud, we have this dispute near the end of the period of the Talmud's closing. We have a dispute between Abaye, the Academy of Rav Ashi, and Amemar. Okay, fine. That's Amemar's opinion. Who says that's everybody's opinion? Ah, well. So let's go to some of the codes. So the earliest codes, as I shared with you many times, are Rambam, Rif, and Rosh. Right? Rambam, Maimonides, Rif, the Alphas, the great sage of North Africa, and finally the Rosh, the Germanic sage who ended up in Spain. And they wrote the first earliest codes. So, in no particular order, the Rosh says, he quotes the Gemara. He says, Rabbanon, the Beit Abashi, Abaye, and the Rabbanon, they would count weeks and days. Amemar just counted days, didn't count weeks. Why? He said it's Amar Zechel Migdashu. Says Rabbeinu Asher, says the Rosh. Upiroshri, the Ri explained, Rabbeinu Yitzchak explained, V'nira, it would seem, the Safek Hashecha, it's kind of dark outside. Well, maybe it's not exactly nightfall. It looks like nightfall. It's around nightfall. Approximately nightfall. Let's say it's Yom Kippur. Can you eat if it's approximately nightfall? No. When can you eat? When it's night. My Zaydi Alav HaShalom once spent Yom Kippur in a prison for the sin of being Jewish or something like that. This was in Siberia. His father was sent away to Siberia because he was a rabbi who taught Torah in Kiev. So they beat the hell out of him and sent him off to Siberia to die. Then, for some reason, they arrested my grandfather, who was a teenager, came to help his father survive. And then, for some reason, I never remember the story, why he ended up in prison for Yom Kippur. And at that Yom Kippur, they came to kill his father, which they did. He never said shiv for his father. He came out of prison many weeks later, finally they killed his father. Okay. So he has told me he didn't know his father was killed the night before. He's in Yom Kippur. And this big gangster, he liked this little Jew. And my grandfather wasn't so little, but compared to the other guys, little Jew. And they liked this Jew. And the Jew was very careful. My grandfather wouldn't need this or wouldn't need that. And he was his protector. My grandfather told me it was like a malach, like an angel was sent to protect him. He would have killed him in prison. And this protector of his saw one day he's not eating. Sacrament, not eating today. What eating? They got like a half of a piece of moldy bread. So he tried to explain to this gangster that it's Yom Kippur and I'm a Jew and I don't eat Yom Kippur. You're not going to eat. They're going to steal your bread. You're going to die. My grandfather said, well, what am I going to do? I'm not going to eat. When can you eat? So he said, when it's dark outside. So he told me. You can't imagine this. He's an emaciated yeshiva bacher. He's in prison. And this gangster kept climbing up on somebody's back to look at the window. He said, is it dark enough for you yet? My grandfather says, I need three stars. I can't see stars. I can't eat that. And the guy is screaming at him, eat the bread, you're going to die. And my grandfather says, no, I know, I need to know. And he kept screaming, is it dark, is it dark, is it dark? I said, okay, fine, you ate the bread. Nobody messes around with Yom Kippur. We're going to wait till it's night. Okay, so Sfirat HaOmer, when should you start counting it? It's night. That's when the next day starts. Rosh says, not so simple. What if it's nightish? Kind of like night. He says, no problem, count away. Can I make a bracha? Yeah. He says, yoch levorech. Ain't so lahamten. You don't have to wait. Achi hei, laila vadei. Why? Kivan davis feke derabonon. Because it's only a rabbinic mitzvah. So the Rosh brings the opinion of Abaye and the Academy of Rav Ashi. He brings the opinion of Amemar, and then the Rosh tells us that in today's day and age, you don't have to wait until it's dark because it's only a rabbinic mitzvah. So we have a ruling here. And the Rosh adds another like logic to it. He says, in any way, you want to have the whole day counted, so if you count it a little early, but that's like an added-on thing. Okay. And that's pretty clear. We have the Rosh, who's telling us that. And who was the Rosh quoting? Well, the Rosh was actually quoting more or less from the Rif, Rabbeinu Yitzchok Fassi. So Rabbeinu Nissim was a great Rishon who wrote commentary on the codes of the Rif. And the Rif, on the surface, he seems to rule like Abaye, because he quotes Abaye over here, and he says you got to count days and you got to count weeks. But then all of a sudden, the Rif, the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim brings down the original Gemara from Menachos, and he goes through this business of Abaye's opinion, Amemer's opinion, and he finishes off with the following kind of roundup. The Rov Mefarshim Maskimim. Most of the commentaries are of same opinion. The Sfira Ta'omer Achshav, that the counting of the Omer now, the Leka Hava Vele Korban, there is no bringing of grain, no korban, no offering in the Beis HaMikdash, Eina Ela Midrabanan. It's only rabbinic. Zeichel HaMikdash, it's a memory of the temple, Kida Omer HaMeimar, like HaMeimar says, Zeichel HaMikdash Be'almu. So there you got it. There you got it. You can count the Omer, you can make a bracha, but it's a rabbinic mitzvah, according to most opinions. The Baal HaMor, another commentary on the Rif, Baal HaMor, he writes in his commentary called Mor HaKoton, the small luminary. He says, you know, there's a question that people ask about Sfira Ta'omer. Most mitzvot that haven't been performed for a whole year, the first time we do the mitzvah, not only do we recite a bracha on the mitzvah, a blessing before we perform the mitzvah, we also recite a blessing of Shehechiyanu. He says, did you ever notice that when it comes to the mitzvah of counting the Omer, there's no Shehechiyanu? How come? Haven't done this since last year. And he says, and generally says, like, when we have a mitzvah which is in doubt because we don't know which day is the first day or the second day, so, like, we'll do the mitzvah without a bracha. For example, we keep 7 days of Sukkot. The Torah says, sit in the sukkah, spend time in the sukkah for 7 days. But then again, we have this issue outside of Israel with 2 days of Yom Tov. So what do we do on the eighth day, which is really the seventh day, but maybe it's the eighth day? We go in the sukkah, but we don't make a bracha. So the Baal HaMor says, so why don't we just count the Omer without a bracha? And he answers both of these questions with one fell swoop. And he says, here's the rule. Here's what you need to know. He says, this business of counting the Omer, Eina Ela L'Zecher Ba'alma. It is only but a memory. And because it's a memory, we do not have to look at the details of whether you did the mitzvah fully or didn't do the mitzvah, as Amemar says, and he's quoting Amemar, the sage, from the Gemara in Menachos on page 66, as Amemar says, he would count days, but not weeks. Why would he count days and not weeks? He says, because it's a Zeichel HaMikdash. So what do we do? Well, we do count days and weeks. If you've been counting the Omer, you know you count. Today is 7 days of the Omer, which is a week. Today is 8 days of the Omer, which is a week and a day. He says, it's only a minhag. It's only a custom. A custom. Does it hurt you to count the weeks too? So count weeks too. But really, the main counting is days. And incidentally, why is the main counting days? The Alter Rebbe says in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tav Pei Tes, which is chapter 489, in the subsection 6, he says, I'll tell you why the main thing is days. Because if you count weeks, you only get to count 7 times. You can wait a week and say, okay, today's a week for the Omer. And then what are you going to say? Today, the next day is 2 weeks, not 2 weeks. You can't count until you get to the next week. They say, now it's 2 weeks. But he says, if you count days, you can count every day. So therefore, he says, if we counted weeks, we wouldn't be counting every day. So clearly, the main thing is counting days. So Amemar said, it's enough to count days. You have to count days and weeks. We'll soon see how this filters down into the halacha. Now, the Reb Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik, known as the Briska Rav, he has a very interesting piece in his Haggadah. In his Haggadah, he asks a question on this Baal HaMor. He says, I don't understand. We make a bracha on the moror, the bitter herbs we eat on Pesach, and we eat the bitter herbs on Pesach. We even eat the bitter herbs twice on Pesach. One time, just the bitter herbs, and then we eat it again with matzah. Not because we love bitter herbs so much, but because the question is, if Hillel would be here today, how would Hillel tell us to eat the maror? Well, we know he told us in time of the Beit HaMikdash to eat maror with matzah. So now that we have a rabbinic mitzvah of eating maror, maybe if Hillel would be here, Hillel would say, hey, if you want to do the mitzvah right, you have to eat maror and matzah. Maybe not. So we have two opinions of how to eat maror in time of the Beit HaMikdash. Since we have two opinions of how to eat maror in time of the Beit HaMikdash, that's why we have two opinions of how to eat maror today also. Incidentally, that is a chiddush, a novelty from the Rebbe's Haggadah. The Velvel Brisker doesn't say that. Okay, but the Brisker Rav says, if we make a bracha on the maror, we don't say, ah, it's a zecher ba'alma, just, you know, eat a smidgen. No, we say, you gotta eat maror, eat a kazayit, you have to eat a... He says, I don't understand. What kind of reasoning is a Meimer? Ah, it's rabbinic, okay, well, it's not important. So the Velvel says a very interesting thing. He says there's two kinds of rabbinic mitzvahs. There's a rabbinic mitzvah which was done as a full reenactment of the mitzvah in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Like Moror. Like the mitzvah of reciting a bracha on the lulav and etrog and the hadassim and aravot every day of Sukkot, which in the time of the Beit HaMikdash was only done in the Beit HaMikdash. And outside of the Beit HaMikdash, only done on the first day. So we, anywhere in the world, will make a bracha for 6 days, excluding Shabbat. Why? Because we will do the mitzvah outside of the Beit HaMikdash the way they did it in the Beit HaMikdash. We're eating maror as they used to in the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, the rabbinic mitzvah is being done exactly as the mitzvah was once done. But here, Reb Velvel says, you can't do the mitzvah exactly as it was once done. Because in order to do this mitzvah, you need a korban. And you're not allowed to bring a korban when there's no Beit HaMikdash. So how are you going to do it? The answer is, you really can't. You can't say, well, today we have no korban, so everybody bring a korban in your house, and then you'll start counting. You can't do that. So because you can't do that, it's only a zecher, he says. The mitzvah can't be done as it was once done. Certain mitzvot, which we do in today's day and age, as it was once done. So we do it exactly the way it was once done, even though now it's only a rabbinic ordination. For example, the second day of Yom Tov. Second day of Yom Tov was once, because we didn't know which day was which, because we didn't know when the calendar began, we didn't know when Rosh Chodesh began. So today we have a biblical mitzvah of a Seder, and a rabbinic mitzvah of a Seder. So how do we do the second Seder? Exactly like the first Seder. Exactly like the first Seder. But he says when it comes to the idea of counting, you can't count exactly as they counted because they counted from a korban, and we can't do that. So that's why he says in Zecher Balma, the main thing is you're counting. To count exactly as they counted, you're counting. It's good enough. So we have this clear, seems to be mostly opinions, that the counting of days is sufficient because it's only a rabbinic mitzvah, but not just a rabbinic mitzvah, a zecher kind of rabbinic mitzvah. Now, conversely, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that the Rambam has a different opinion. The Rambam says in the laws of Tmidim Umusafim, in the book of the Avodah, which is the eighth book of his magnum opus, Mishneh Torah, in the set of halachas which are called regular, ongoing, and special offerings, in the end of chapter 7, the Rambam says in halacha 22, Umitzvah limnot hayamim im hashavuot. It's a mitzvah to count the days along with the weeks. Because it says, Tisperu chamishim yom, count days. And it says, count weeks. And the Rambam then goes to Halacha 24 and says, Mitzvah zo, this mitzvah applies, b'chol mokom u'b'chol zman, in every place and in every time. So what does every place and every time mean? It means every place and every time. It means when there is a Beit HaMikdash and when there is not a Beit HaMikdash. So the Rambam seems to believe that the mitzvah of Sfirah Ta'omer today is a biblical mitzvah. So the Kesef Mishnah, who is the Bet Yosef, in his commentary on Rambam, he calls himself Kesef Mishnah, he says, Das Rabbeinu, the opinion of the Rambam is, Sha'af bezman hazeh hi mitzvah min haTorah, that it's also a mitzvah min haTorah. And therefore, he says, the Rambam is following the opinion of Abaye, the opinion of the sages of the academy of Rav Ashi, and not the opinion of a Meimer. And he says, because the Rambam follows Abaye, because he believes that it's a biblical mitzvah, so that's why it's a mitzvah, l'mim nishvuei, a mitzvah to count weeks as much as it's a mitzvah to count days. So clearly the business of counting days and weeks, or counting just days, makes the difference if we say it's a biblical mitzvah or a rabbinic mitzvah. Okay, so that's very clear. That's the whole difference will hinge on whether it's a rabbinic or a biblical mitzvah. Let's take a look in the codes. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. So beginning with the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, the Baal HaTurim. First thing he says in the beginning of chapter 489 of the laws which govern Pesach, he says, after Ma'ariv on the second night of Pesach, what do? We start counting Sfirah to Omer. When do you start counting? The Zman HaSfirah, the time of the counting, Matchilat HaLaila, from the beginning of the night. Listen carefully now. Va'afilu eino laila mamash. Even if it's not really night. Ela safek hashecha, it's kind of night. Maybe it's a cloudy day, I don't know. We don't have our satellite clocks available. It's okay. You can count Sfirah Tomer. Betchilat HaLaila is good enough. Now if the tour, Rabbeinu Yaakov Baal HaTurim says, you can count at the beginning of the night, what does that tell you, his opinion of that Sfirah Tomer today is biblical or rabbinic? Clearly the tour held that Sfirah Tomer today is rabbinic. And the Beit Yosef, who not only wrote commentary on the Rambam, but wrote commentary in the tour, he says, from this we can see that you can make a bracha, even though it isn't actually night for sure. And so he says, it's clear that the Baal HaTurim follows the opinion of the Ran, who says that most of the commentaries believe that Sfirah Ta'omer in today's day and age is only Midrabanon. And Bekivan Midrabanon, because it's only rabbinic, so then you could start even by counting before it's for sure night. It's not like eating on Yom Kippur. You don't have to wait until it's night outside. Clear. Here's codes, Jewish, code of Jewish law, the Torah, clearly following the opinion of the Rosh. Clearly. You take a look in the Shulchan Aruch. Very interestingly, in the big Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't exactly speak about this. He doesn't say clearly. In the Shulchan Aruch himself, the Beit Yosef says that when you make a bracha, sofer hayamim v'hashavuot, you should count the days and the weeks. Comes along the Magen Avraham, major commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, nearly, it seems to me very clear, the im safar hayamim l'chud, if one were to count days alone, v'lo safar hashavuot, he would not to count weeks, ein tzarich lachzor, you don't have to go back and count again. In other words, he says, it seems pretty clear here, that we are holding, like the Issa B'Gemara, we learned in the Gemara, and here he's talking about Mesechet Menachot, page 66, that I shared with you before. It says, L'manda Omar Sfira D'Rabbonon. And he says, U'Bet Yosef, Katav, B'Shem Rova Paskim, the Kaimalon. Bet Yosef actually quotes the Ran in his commentary, saying that we believe that Sfira in today's day and age is only of rabbinic origin. And so the Magen Avraham, who came to illuminate the pathways of the Shulchan Aruch that was authored by Rabbi Yosef Karo, he said Rabbi Yosef Karo himself, in his commentary on the Tur, says clearly that most opinions are that the counting of Sfirah Ta'omer in today's day and age is only rabbinic. It's pretty clear. It's right there. So Magen Avraham rules it's only rabbinic. Let's take a look at the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch. Let's see what he says. The Alter Rebbe, in this very same chapter, 489, he says, this mitzvah applies in the land of Israel and outside the land of Israel. Bifnei habayit, when there's a Beit HaMikdash, ushalo bifnei habayit. This is a quote from Rambam, essentially. Then the Alter Rebbe says, v'yesh omrim, there is another opinion, shebizman hazeh, she'im Beit HaMikdash kayam, that in today's day and age, that there's no Beit HaMikdash, Ve'in makriva no omer, unfortunately, we didn't bring the korban, ein mitzvah zu no heget klal midivrei Torah. Then biblically, this mitzvah cannot be performed. Elo midivrei sofrim, only rabbinically, shetiknu zecher l'migdash. They didn't, it's not just a rabbinic mitzvah, it's a rabbinic mitzvah which is as a zecher, as the Brisker Rav explained. It's not just a rabbinic mitzvah, it's a rabbinic mitzvah which is a zecher l'migdash. And the Alter Rebbe says, you're listening carefully, v'chein ikar. V'chein ikar. That is the primary opinion. The Alter Rebbe rules clearly, v'chein ikar. And then later on, in subsection 5, he says, biblically you have to count, min ha-Torah tzarech limud hayamim, v'gam ha-shavuot. You got to count days, you got to count weeks. And he says, "Im lo asakein, if you only counted days, didn't count weeks. Lo yatza yedecha vato min haTorah, you did not fulfill your mitzvah." Clear. Min haTorah. But he says, "Im ta'o, if you made a mistake and you counted only the days and didn't count the weeks, ein sarach lachzer, you don't have to return v'lispar bizman hazeh, in today's day and age, you don't have to count again. Why not? Shehasfira midivrei sofrim. Because today's counting is only of rabbinic origin, of rabbinic ordination. And therefore, you don't have to count again if you only counted days. Ein sarach lachzer v'lispar bizman hazeh, in today's day and age, when it's only a rabbinic mitzvah, it is not necessary to go and recite the counting a second time. Shehasfira eina ela zecher. Because the counting we do today is only a zecher, a memory. But he says, if you count only weeks, now you're in trouble. Only weeks you got to count again, he says, because that's not good enough. And that's as what I shared with you before. He says, the main thing is the days, because the days enable you to count every single day, whereas the weeks really enable you to count only at the end of the week, and this is what we do. We count weeks too, but the main thing is counting days. So here's what I set out to do. I set out to show you the origin of how we have, even from the biblical beginnings, two seeming approaches to Sefirat HaOmer. I showed you in the Gemara how we have two schools of thought. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, both are the words of the living God, both are Torah. But what's the halacha? The halacha is that in today's day and age, the Sefirat HaOmer is rabbinic. Practically speaking, we're influenced. The halacha influences a number of ways, including when we can start counting, and including how we count. By days, not by weeks, like the opinion of HaMeimer. Which brings me to the big question. Nathan jumped the gun, then he ran away. But this is the big question. The question was, what's going on over here? If the counting of today is only rabbinic, how does that influence the day in which we celebrate Shavuot, which is biblical? What if we wouldn't count? How could we not count biblically? It means, if so, the festival of Shavuot should only be a rabbinic festival. Nobody says that. How could you say that? The Torah says. It says in the Torah, you have to make a Yom Tov on Shavuot. It's a biblical festival. And it gets even more interesting. The Rebbe has this huge chiddush. It's a huge chiddush because it was only possible in the modern era of air travel, which was never the case once upon a time, where it's possible for a person to pass the date line. You fly to Australia heading west across the Pacific Ocean, you miss a day. This is a problem. When do you have Shavuot? The Rebbe believed that you have to keep Shavuot for 3 days then. First your Shavuot, and then their Shavuot. So your counting, your living through the day, makes the difference. Now you can't tell me, well, the people don't count Sefirat HaOmer at all, they still have to keep Shavuot. Imagine that. They'll say, coming to Shul, no, I didn't count Sefirat HaOmer this year. Oh, that come to Shul. I don't keep Yom Tov this year. Why? I didn't keep Sefirat HaOmer. Nobody says that. Okay, fine. You would say, it's the obligation of counting Sefirat HaOmer. But there is no obligation to count Sefirat HaOmer. So if there's no biblical obligation to count Sefirat HaOmer, how is it possible to have a biblical Yom Tov called Shavuot? It's a really good question. Lucky for us, the Rebbe actually dealt with this question. It wasn't the primary thrust of a particular rumination, but kind of between the lines, the Rebbe addresses this question as well. And he says the following. It does not mean, when we say in the Torah that you count 50 days and celebrate Shavuot on the 50th, or you count 49 days and the 50th Shavuot, it doesn't mean, he says, that the counting actually creates the holiness of the counting, or even that the obligation to count, suppose somebody didn't count, even the obligation to count would necessarily mean that somebody would have to or not have to keep Shavuot. And what's the proof? The halacha would be that if somebody were to convert during these days, they were not Jewish on Pesach. They became Jewish during these days of the Omer, that on Shavuot, they would be biblically obligated to keep Yom Tov. So forget the fact that there are Jews who didn't count. Here's the person who says, I wasn't Jewish. I couldn't count. Whatever I counted wasn't meaningful. I wasn't Jewish. That's fine. You still have to keep Yom Tov. So the Rebbe says clearly, it's not the counting that creates the Yom Tov. It's clearly the case. And then the Rebbe says, somebody will say, I know what it is. It's the counting of the nation of Israel that brings this about. The Rebbe says, well, you really can't say that, because nowhere in the Torah did it speak about the counting of a nation. It says, Usfartem Lachem. Lisper Loch. You have to count for you. So the Rebbe says the following, my friends. Ein Chag HaShavuot Nifal Al Yedei HaSfira. Shavuot is not caused by the counting. Ella, but. So what does the counting do? She'et zman ha-chag, the time of the Yom Tov, kava ha-Torah le-yom ha-chamishim le-omer. The Torah said that the time of Shavuot will be established 50 days after you celebrated Pesach. On the 50th day after the second, that's fine. Hainu, she'yemei ha-sfira rak marim u-mevarerim ha-zman de-chag ha-shavuot. The days of the counting, the Omer, do not create the holiday of Shavuot, they only indicate the holiday of Shavuot. They're indicators. It's an indicator. It's not a creator. There's a big difference between indicating or creating. It's like saying Columbus created America. That's ridiculous. Columbus may have discovered America for the Western world that didn't know America existed, but the Americas, by any other name, were still Americas, and they were lived in by millions of people who didn't know about people in Europe. It's just their bad luck that instead of them getting on ships and going across to colonize Europe, the people from Europe came and colonized them. Columbus discovered what? He discovered something that was always there. Just a significant portion of the population didn't know about it. And since they became the dominant force in civilization, so all of a sudden he's a big hero that he discovered. In other words, the following is true. Shavuot is Shavuot because it's Shavuot. Because God says it's Shavuot. Because the Torah says it's Shavuot. Because 50 days after Pesach it's Shavuot. So what are we counting for? We're counting in order for us to, so to speak, reveal when Shavuot is. The counting serves only to uncover the day, to illuminate for us the day, not to create the day. And therefore, the Rebbe maintained that if somebody went on a strange trip through a dateline, that his reality is indicating something else. His reality seems to indicate a different day. So since your reality is indicative of a day, that means from Shemayim, they want him to do Shavuot on this day because these days only indicate, not create. Now, very interestingly, I found really this idea in the Rishonim. There are different discussions in the Rishonim as to why we're counting and what's the purpose of the counting. And the Tur says that the reason, Balaturim, the Tur Aruch, the same Tur wrote the Balaturim and the Shulchan wrote a commentary in the Chumash. The Tur says that some say the reason for the counting of the Omer is because these were harvest days. Read Megillat Rut, it was a very busy time. Everybody was out there in the field. It's what the accountants call tax season, if you're a farmer. It's counting season. It's a busy time. And Boaz is the great hero of Megillat Rus, or maybe the second hero of Megillat Rus. What's he doing? He's sleeping on the field even. If you hear of accountants sleeping in their office, same kind of thing. Okay, it's like a busy time. This was the busiest 6 weeks of the year. How busy were they in the winter? What were you doing? Well, you're growing your field. What, you had to sing to the grass so it should grow? It was raining. It was mud. You had a busy season. You had to plant everything. How long does it take to plant? A week, 2 weeks? You threw all the seeds out. What do you do now? Now you pray. You could weed. You could irrigate. There's a little bit of work to do, but you're not working morning to night. It's a nice life. And then the harvest season hits, and you have to work feverishly because if you don't count, you don't cut the grain in time, what happens to the grain? It rots. So they worked like crazy, 24/6. Shifts working constantly. And then what do you do in the summer? You know how you say summer in Hebrew? Kayetz. You know why you say kayetz? Because kayetz means to cure, to dry out. What happened all summer? It doesn't rain in Israel. Never rains in Israel in the summer. So what happened? Everything is left out in the field and it cures. The raisins, the grapes become raisins. The fresh kernels of wheat become husks, dry kernels, so that later they can be turned into flour. So there isn't that much work in the summer either. When was the really heavy-duty time of work? Harvest. These 6 weeks. So the Torah says they were so busy, they didn't go home. People slept in the field. They worked day and night. Therefore, they couldn't hear when the shluchim from Betim would come, and they won't even know when Rosh Chodesh is. Sounds like they weren't even done with a minyan. So, the Torah said you better count. Umitamza nami yasfira balaila. When is the counting? The counting is at night. Why? Because the whole day they were working. They worked till they dropped, till they were exhausted. So they said, don't drop, stand up right now and count. We talked about last week, you have to stand before you fall asleep. In other words, what is the Torah saying? He's basically saying what the Rebbe says. Is that, I mean, I'm just showing, this is, seems to me, the origin. The point is that the counting is there to reveal. The counting was made to reveal because we would have forgotten. So the point then is that the counting serves to reveal the day of Shavuot rather than create the day of Shavuot. So we are counting today, in today's day and age, because of rabbinic ordination. That's true. However, the rabbinic ordination is not creating the reality. Instead, it's revealing the reality. And I want to finish with this. When we finish reciting Sefirot HaOmer, we say something very interesting. We say, Ayidei ze yushpa shefer av b'chol ha'ilumos. By counting the Sefirot HaOmer, a great downflow of divine blessings should come into all the worlds. And we also say in the special Yehirat Zon, the special prayer, it was 49 days. There are seven midot, seven emotional characteristics that we're supposed to refine and correct. And the seven are comprised of seven. So the seven are Chesed, Gevura, Teferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut. And each of the seven are comprised of seven, which gives you 49. So we have Chesed of Chesed, and Gevura of Chesed, and Teferet of Chesed, and Netzach of Chesed, and Hod of Chesed, and Yesod of Chesed, and Malchut of Chesed. And then we have Chesed of Gevura, and Gevura of Gevura, and so on and so forth. So it says, by counting, you're fixing this part of you. Well, what if I don't even know what that part of me is? How did I fix it? It doesn't say you have to meditate on what it is. It doesn't say you have to know what it is. It says you have to count. What does this mean? The way that Rebbe once explained it, when a yid does a mitzvah of rabbinic origin, when a yid does a mitzvah, when Torah tells you count, when the Chachamim tell you count, and you're counting, when you say these words, what happens? You draw down Kedusha. You actualize holiness. The effect of Sefirot HaOmer is not to create a biblical holiday, but the effect of Sefirot HaOmer is to bring down, to download, to actualize in our realm the holy energy that's available. The energy is available. This is the time when we left Mitzrayim and came to Matan Torah. This is the time when God healed us and perfected us. And every single year during this period of time, there's this healing energy that's available. And most of Sefirot HaOmer is in the month of Iyar, and Iyar is 30 days. Same counting. Every day, the same mitzvah every day. And what does Iyar stand for? Ani Hashem Rofecha. I am the Lord, your healer. In other words, there's this spiritual healing energy. And the spiritual healing energy is available. But to get that energy, you got to count. And this is the power of the sages. Our sages could give you the power to actualize, even if it's not biblical, even if it's rabbinic, you can still actualize this. It doesn't create the reality. It reveals and brings the reality into our realm. And this, my dear friends, is what I mean by the counting effects. We do not create Shavuot. We reveal Shavuot. And during these days, we're able to reveal or to draw down and actualize in our realm, which ultimately affects Kol Olamos, all the worlds, a whole new level of consciousness, a whole new level of divine blessing, a whole new level of godly energy, which animates and elevates and purifies and transforms our world for the best. Sefirot HaOmer is a big mitzvah. Very good idea to do this, my friends, because there's treasure houses of this wonderful blessing and energy that's just waiting for you to say, today is such and such of the Omer, and by a yid, using the powers of his verbal or her verbalization, we can draw this holiness into our lives, enriching ourselves, our families, our communities, and ultimately all of Klal Yisrael. May we merit to see the counting of the Omer conclude in the third Beis HaMikdash, bringing the great korban of the 50th day of Shavuot this year. U'b'mheira u'b'yameinu amen.